You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:34, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Our busy news cycle, you're dang right, a busy news cycle, and we'll turn to our Congressman Jerry Carl here. I want to read this before we bring him on. Congressman Carl checking in. He was on with us last week when, you know, after the assassination attempt on Trump, and here we are just a week later, and you have the resignation for the campaign, the suspension of the campaign for President Joe Biden. And I'm going to read this. I mean, the man wrote it, but I'm going to read this and then, you know, get his reaction. On the Twitter or the X feed here, from Congressman Carl, said, President Biden's decision today to step off the November ballot proves what we've known to be true since day one. Joe Biden is totally unfit for office. And January 20th, 2025 can't come soon enough. The Biden administration will be remembered for weakening America, allowing chaos to spread across the globe, and burdening Americans with crippling inflation. Now more than ever, we need President Trump in office to get this country back on track and revive the American dream. Congressman, with that, does that also include, do you think President Biden should resign from office at this point?
Sean, I did not hear the question.
I'm sorry, the mic wasn't working. I read your commentary. I read your commentary from the Twitter post you put up, and about the suspension of the campaign for President Biden.
Right.
But on top of that, and you talked about the reasons why that was important, but I just got done talking in the last segment about whether he should resign as the president. So, I mean, politically, people are saying, you know, should he step down and let Kamala Harris, you know, would the Democrats want Kamala Harris in as acting president to seem presidential? Your thoughts on this?
I would prefer him stay. Now, everyone up here, and I'll support what the majority of the Republicans come up with. We'll find that out today at 5 o'clock in our little powwow session. But, Sean, the thing spooking me right now is nobody has seen him. He is still – there's no physical proof that he's still alive. I know that sounds weird, but, you know, usually on Monday he has flown in by now. We've seen him get off the helicopter and do his thing, but nobody has seen the man whatsoever. So it's gotten a little spooky.
Maybe they're just saying that he has COVID, or, you know, he's going to stay there. I don't know if he's coming back or he stays in Rehoboth Beach to recover from that. But also the fact that as a suspension of a campaign, a short post on Twitter or X seems underwhelming. You know, and I know he's supposed to address later in the week. I don't know what that is, but your thoughts on that?
Well, he's supposed to address, I think, Wednesday. If my memory, surely it's Thursday, not Wednesday. Wednesday, we got Netanyahu coming in. They've already warned us to be prepared for 40,000 protesters. So a lot of these buildings will be shut down and locked up. So, he's got to tell the nation why. Why did he step down? Well, we know for a fact that he can't be tried because of his ill health. Now he can't run for, you know, he can't be prosecuted because of his ill health. Now he can't run a campaign due to his ill health. So, you know, we've got roughly, what, about 4 months left in his presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And Kamala Harris could step up and take that. I've always thought that the Speaker of the House stepped up and filled the role as a vice president, but my staff was telling me today they researched it last night and they come up with a different theory. I don't know.
What is that theory? Who would become VP?
The theory is, first of all, you know, to get him out, it takes her and the cabinet to ask him to step down. He gets a chance to challenge it. If they get it back and agree to it, you know, they can take him out. She gets to pick a vice president. It has to come and pass by majority in the House and the Senate.
Hmm.
So it's just going to stay in this continuous circle is what it's going to do. So, and I'm not real convinced that she is going to wind up being on the final ballot. You've got some other Democrats that seem to be rising up, saying that they may have some interest in it. And the scuttlebutt up here is they can't find anybody to fill in vice president, want to run vice president with her. So she's not a very liked person in Washington, D.C., by the Democrats or the Republicans.
Yeah, I would call out and say that wouldn't happen. But last time I said that, when you told me Biden wouldn't be the nominee come November, I was wrong on that one, Congressman. So I've learned my lesson there on this one. But it seems like there'd be some appeal. I'm just theorizing right now for her to bring in a VP, if that scenario your staff told you about, bring in a VP, and then you have a president and VP that have some mild incumbency, right, going into the election.
Yeah, but how many people put their life involved to get where they're at politically are going to want to step into that shoe? That feels like she will not fill that role, that she will not be elected and serve with her, because people have got real problems with her up here. I mean, she's constantly turning over staff. She's belligerent. She's angry. But leaving that aside, I mean, there's a lot of ifs here. So I don't know that she's going to be the final choice. Right now, she's on a high. Her points will never be any higher than today and tomorrow. From then on, it'll all start downhill. And you can mark my word on that. There'll be people coming out of the woodwork making statements about her, her past, her future, things she said, things she's done. So she has got a long way to go between now and, what is it, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm. The 18th of August, I think, is the DNC, or 16th
and
or something.
You're going to start seeing some Democrats standing up going, you know, I'm not necessarily sold on her winning this. Let me try it. And that's the way the system should work.
Yeah.
Truly, that's the way the system – that's what the conventions are supposed to be for, is actually elect – you know, the majority of the convention elect the person that you want. And it happened with Trump. Everybody had dropped out. He was so strong. Okay, I get it. But – you know, if I was a Democrat, I'd be very upset what just happened. They have forced Biden out because they see Biden can't win, so they have forced him out. So the votes you made in March for Joe Biden just got thrown into the wind.
Yeah.
They took your candidate out of play. Who is they? The powers of the Democrat Party, the Obamas, and, you know, the folks behind the curtain pulling the chains. So you know, the Democrats should be upset. They should have their feelings hurt.
But they should have been upset back then. They kind of railroaded the primary. They didn't kind of. They railroaded the primary to benefit Biden. I mean, they shut that down early.
But let's think about this. Kamala Harris has been screaming he's in great health. He's a wonderful leader.
Of course, yes.
I trust him. I follow him. And, I mean, now she's got to change. Now she's going to be the candidate. She is the candidate of letting in 9.5 million illegal immigrants across the border. That's who she's a candidate. This is what she has to run on. The cost of living's up X percent. That's what she's got to run on. Gas prices up X percent. That's what she's got to run on. I mean, it is going to be a horrible platform to try to launch a campaign in 116 days and expect to win. Now, she'll keep the Democrats that are true Democrats. They don't care who you put there. They'll vote for whomever. And there's Republicans the same way. But people that actually are looking, I was surprised. I was in Milwaukee, and I was really pleasantly surprised at the number of Hispanics and black people there supporting Donald Trump. It just did my soul so much good. I felt for once this country was coming together. I really saw an avenue that this country is coming together. So Kamala Harris is not going to do that. She is not a peaceful person.
Speaking of who it might be, and you know what Trump world has to look at for competition, the rumor mill yesterday and threw out a bunch of names, but Senator Manchin was in the mix, and now he said he won't run for president, won't change back to a D from an I. But to me, out of the people I looked at that could damage Trump's numbers, it was Manchin. That was when I said that might be tough for Trump world.
Yeah, I mean, he could still run as an independent and pull numbers from Trump and pull numbers from Biden also, or from Harris also. I mean, there's so many scenarios you could play out here. The clock's ticking and they're running out of time. You know, it's interesting to watch, because the Hill up here is a nervous wreck. And the one thing I would encourage everyone to be very much aware of is what's happening overseas, what's happening in Russia, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in Israel. I'm afraid these countries may take advantage of all of this confusion that's going on in America right now. So, you know, I really caution us all to be on high alert. You know, and continue to pray for these countries. Continue to pray for our administration here, because we've got a rough 4 or 5 months coming.
Yeah, speaking of that, I may get in that later in the show, as Israel actually themselves, it's been us before, but Israel responding to the Houthis with the missile strike there. So it's a new part of that conflict. Congressman Jerry Carl, our guest, if you're just joining us. Congressman, speaking of VP choices that we did on, that's on the Dem side, your thoughts here since the convention and the VP choice of J.D. Vance for Donald Trump?
You know, I really knew nothing about J.D. Vance when he got nominated. Of course, I knew he was senator, and I knew he'd done a good job there. But after he got nominated, I went back and I did a little more research, and I saw clips from that Netflix movie about his life. And I mean, that's the relatability of why I think Trump got him. He can relate to the middle class and the poor class of Americans, and they can relate to him. And you and I have talked about this several times. Who's going to be the next president in 2028?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the candidate? So J.D. Vance would fill that role so well. So I'm excited that he's got it. The wonderful thing is the Republican Party has so many horses in the stable that they could have ran one of six or seven candidates easy and done a great job. J.D. Vance is the one that Trump has picked. J.D. Vance will be the one that we'll all get in behind and support.
I hear the horn going off. I hope you have a couple minutes here before vote time, because I want to get your thoughts about what's going on watching it today. My side note here, as a broadcaster who is under the rules of the Federal Communications Commission and listening earlier to the questions at the House Oversight Committee of Director Cheadle at the Secret Service, I would just say, hey, if y'all are going to use potty mouth, on those oversight committees, then don't make me have to edit all the comments. We're going to, when I run Nancy Mace's comments, I'm like, dang it, you're going to make me have to go through and edit. But yes, listening to that today, do you think anything's coming out of this? Do you think this is going to just be for show? Or do you think you end up, how do you run around? You had talked about defunding, but Lord knows, I don't want to defund the Secret Service. I want them to do a better job, not a worse job.
No, and the defunding, I was talking about defunding some of the upper management. I wasn't talking about the guys in the field on the ground. That's never been part of my conversation. But we've got to find a way of getting their attention, and money's always the way to get everybody's attention. I think this was I think we've got so many peacocks up here in Washington, and everybody wants to strut around and be seen. Nobody wants to work. I think she is one of those peacocks. I think she's got a very strong relationship, I understand, with Jill Biden. Okay. So she got picked in that position. I'm sure she's surrounded by people that are more than capable of doing it. It failed. I mean, common sense tells you 150 yards from the top of a building, you better have the top of the building secured. I'm not a specialist by no means. That's just common sense. So she's failed. What they're trying to do, they're trying to push her to resign. I want all the facts. And this is something I talked to you about also. You know, the facts, they'll continue to drip in. We're trying to move this faster. We're trying to get them faster. We want them, as soon as they find them, to share them with us as much as they can. But they're not doing that either. They're just really stalling, holding their ground. They know nothing's going to happen to them unless Biden chooses to fire her or get her out. They'll make her life miserable. They'll do exactly what they're doing, and she deserves it. She deserves it, but she needs to answer more questions. And we've got a handful around here that love to shock the audience with a few choice words, which I find quite tacky. I think we should respect this office, without any malice, we should, show respect for this office, because we represent a lot of people that find offense to words like that. So,
well, it's self-serving for me. It just means more work for us edit bay.
We all use them. We all use them, yes. But get on the floor of Congress and use them as a different, totally different topic.
So, I agree. It's self-serving and just as a citizen. So yes. In looking at this, I watched a lot of the commentary today, and there's some grandstanding and peacocking. Absolutely, you said there's some questions being asked. Maybe some will be asked behind closed doors, because whether this be in a Secret Service capacity or just in a business out there, if you had a failure this big, you would go back and say, what happened? What was wrong? Whether, you know, what happened? What, where was the screw up so you don't do it again? It's a fair question. You have to open it up and say, who dropped the ball here?
Yeah, I'm firmly convinced, personally, from everything I've seen, that he's a lone wolf, and that's the hardest person to defend against.
But 150 yards away, wolf. I mean, come on, you know? I mean, 150.
From a high point.
Yeah.
So, you would always secure that. If it was a 1,000-yard shot, you know, you're limited in how many people can actually make that shot.
Right.
You know, that really narrows it down, but 150-yard shot, even I can make that one.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously, if God was there, you know, Trump, I saw a different Trump when he was in Milwaukee. I think it's changed him a little bit for the good. He didn't seem near as angry, and that's a good thing. We need to tone things down, but we do need answers. We need her to answer the full question. And the question, she keeps falling back to, it's an active investigation, and you're going to have to get that from the FBI. Well, that's an old stall technique that we've all used for years, or had used against us for years, I should say. I've never been in a position to say something like that. But it's going to be an interesting week. Again, we've got the big protest with Netanyahu in here speaking. There's going to be 40,000 people outside. I don't know how they'll secure the buildings and keep them out of the buildings, but I'm sure they'll try, and we'll see.
40,000. 40,000 is what y'all are hearing?
It's going to be 20,000 pro and 20,000, Palestinian, pro-Palestinian. There'll be 20,000 pro-Israel. So there'll be 40,000 people out there arguing with one another. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's what they're prepping us for.
I'm picturing any other country in the world that would have that kind of turnout to, if that country was doing something that had something to do with the United States, they would have that many people come out and protest one way or another. I don't know that it would exist elsewhere.
And that's what I'm saying. The world is watching. They're watching the collapse of the Biden administration. They're watching what's going on in Israel and Palestine. They're watching what's happening here as far as protest. I mean, we're being very closely watched by the world. Now's the time that leaders stand up and lead. You know, leaders stand up and say enough's enough. This is the direction we got to go. This is what we got to do. And do it. Move in that direction. Make changes as you move.
And where do you see that coming from right now? I don't know where you would expect that to come from.
Well, every one of us are leaders. So we wouldn't be up here.
Well, in the executive branch. In the legislative, I agree. There's plenty of y'all that could step up. But
we got to see Biden. We got to physically see him. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like this. This place is awful spooky today. Something's going on that we don't know about yet. So,
Well, I've learned to trust your gut instinct on this. So we'll watch what comes out later in the week. Congressman, as always, we appreciate your time, and we'll be probably checking back with you very, very soon here with the way Washington's going.
Anytime, Sean. And by the way, I'll pick the day I'll come in and run your radio station program one day.
Okay.
I'll let you know when.
Good. If you would, I got to take some time off in August to take the eldest child to college. So, yeah, we'll work that up.
All right. Be good, buddy. Take care.
There he goes. Congressman Jerry Carl, we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. Midday Mobile, Monday style. Coming up in hour number two. Grab more calls and text at 343-0106. Plus, check in with Dr. Sean Powers. Get a recap of the 91st Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Some good times down there. Good to see so many of y'all as well. All right, let's check the text line right now, starting with, gosh, so many here. We'll get in this unnamed texture. Does Kamala Harris have any recent accomplishments? I would say hanging around long enough to become the Democrats' nominee for this presidential cycle. Michael says, I'm just curious if anyone's heard from Biden yet today. I'm wondering if he knows he bowed out of the race yet. Well, you know, heard Congressman Carl say they hadn't seen him. Speaking of which, now, I guess this came in over the last 15 minutes or so. Pelosi has endorsed Kamala Harris. That still leaves, so because that was that didn't happen yesterday, right? So now today, just recently, Pelosi's endorsed. That leaves Chucky Schumer. That leaves Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, and the Obamas. We'll see if they're going to just dribble those out to keep it in the news cycle this week or where that is. I don't know how, with the machine set like it is, and we'll see, but that you could have another Democrat step up with this short period of time before the convention and make themselves the nominee. But that, again, in the political world we're in now, stranger things probably will happen. But I just, once again, just look at general logic. I don't know how you get that going before the, what is it, 17th, 18th, something like that, for the DNC convention. It's pretty fast. Let's see. Michael said, Motorman said, good afternoon, Sean. Why do you suppose the dropout letter was not on official White House letterhead? I don't know. It was odd that it was, not that you wouldn't also put a tweet or post up on X, but you didn't have an accompanying. I mean, that's just a weird way to say we're not, you know, Biden's not running for office again. You think it would, you could do that. You would put out an official White House document and then link it through in the post. So, Motorman, I don't know if there's anything to that, but it is strange as well. Are people looking for proof of life on the president? Thanks, Randall. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile. Calls and texts, 343-0106. And yes, Maximus says, the real news is it's 40 days to Alabama football kickoff. Roll Tide, roll. Yeah, summer's done. Football's back.